in episode 6 of Screen Space, Color Design 101. Greetings and welcome to episode 6 of Screen Space, Color Design 101. It is Sunday, July 6th, 2008. For the United States citizens in my audience, which may be my whole audience, if not, let me know. Happy belated 4th of July. The 4th was actually inspiration for this episode. I was trying to decide which of the many upcoming topics to do. After running in the Peachtree 10K road race, which is the largest 10K in the nation, I decided that colors were a fitting topic. As you know by now, if you've been listening, Screen Space is a podcast for all of you out there who want to make your websites, blogs, and other new media more usable, accessible, effective, and efficient. I, your host, am Dr. Jennifer L. Bowie. I'm a professor at Georgia State University, where I teach a variety of classes related to this podcast. I also do much of my own research in this area. Without further ado, let's talk color. One of the biggest differences between print and new media design is color doesn't cost any more in new media. You can use millions of colors, but please don't, and it doesn't cost you any more than using just black and white. This is not the case with print. Unfortunately, the ability to use color without extra cost can lead to some very colorful and very atrocious designs. Color is a very complex topic, and artists and graphic designers can spend years studying it. However, advanced knowledge is not necessary to use color effectively in your new media. In this episode, I'll cover some of the basics, and in future episodes, I'll cover more material on color. It is a topic I could dedicate the whole podcast to instead of just a few episodes, because there's so much to know and consider. Today, I'll focus on some basic, key concepts for color design. The first principle of color use online is to use color to communicate, not to decorate. Don't simply add color because it looks pretty. Add it because it makes your site more usable, effective, and efficient. If you do it well, you will have a good-looking site that communicates clearly. The following principles all provide information on using color to communicate. The best way to communicate clearly with color is to limit your use of colors. While it is tempting to turn many a website and new media into a rainbow of color, it is not good design. Too many colors can be distracting, confusing, reduce focus, and look childish. The result is more circus than accessible, effective, and efficient. So, how many colors should you use? Generally, around 4 colors is a good idea. With 4 colors, you can have a background color, a main design color, and then 2 contrasting or highlighting colors. Fewer colors are fine and can lead to very striking designs. More colors are difficult to pull off without advanced color training, so I recommend sticking with 4. My own color training includes graduate graphic design classes and years of art lessons for my grandmother, and I tend to stick to 4 or fewer colors. In fact, most of the websites I create for my classes have just 3 colors. Let me make a small note here. I do consider black and white often as a single color when choosing a color palette of 4 or fewer colors. We're used to black and white and often do not see them as color. Also, black and white are best for background and text colors due to their high contrast and readability. Thus, it is fine to use black and white as a single color, and then choose up to 3 other colors for your 4-color site. However, if you use black and white as a single color, do not make them major design colors, just supplemental and background. For example, black body text on white, with other colors for borders, header images, headings, links, and so on. If you choose to make black a major design color, such as your background, then you will want to count black and white separately. Images, especially photographs, can make sticking to a 4-color palette difficult. If possible, try to integrate the images into your color palette. It is a good idea to try and match the dominant colors of the images with the color palette of the site. This will not only create a cleaner design, but look planned and professional. However, it is unlikely you can get the pictures to completely fit the color scheme, as it is very hard to get photos with only 4 colors without photo editing anyway. If you have several images with many colors, consider this when creating your color palette. Try to match key images with the color palette and consider a more limited color palette for the site, maybe 3 or even 2 colors instead of 4. This will make the images pop more and create less color clutter on the site. When selecting your color palette, there's another thing you need to keep in mind: contrast. You must select colors with good contrast, especially for any colors that will be used for text. The text, particularly the body text, should contrast with the background it is on for readability and legibility. It's best to have high contrast, and the smaller the text, the higher the contrast should be. The highest contrast is, of course, black and white. This is why we see so many pages with black text on a white background. Another good choice, if your users are not blue-yellow colorblind, is dark blue on white. Dark gray on white is also good. Generally, you want your text to be darker and your background lighter. Darker backgrounds overpower lighter text and create blurred edges in the text. This blurring decreases readability and leads to eye strain. If you must use light text on a dark background, use larger sizes of text and try to avoid black backgrounds, as the blurring tends to be worse with black. While high contrast is preferable, there are two things you want to make sure you avoid. The first is low contrast. This may seem obvious, but it is worth noting anyway. Low contrast is simply hard to read. It can cause readers discomfort and eye strain. It actually hurts my eyes to try to read it. And it is even harder for those with vision issues to read. So avoid low contrast. The second thing to avoid is combining bold, vibrant colors, either with each other or with some dark colors. Bold colors as text can lead to a vibrating effect on backgrounds that are also vibrant or dark. This vibrating leads to eye strain and creates an odd effect that may lead to headaches. Some combinations that create this include bright red on black or dark blue, yellow on blue and vice versa, green on red and vice versa, and so on. Also make sure you avoid bold colors that cause this vibrating effect. I'll put some examples of good and bad contrasts, including the bold vibrating text, up in the transcript for this podcast, so you can see what I mean. Once you have a color palette for your site, turn it into a color scheme. After you have selected the colors, decide generally on what you will use them for. What will your background color be? Your text color? What color will you use for your main design color? What will you use for links, headings, other design elements, key pieces of information? Obviously, if you're working with four or fewer colors, there will be at least a few elements in the same color. So, consider which overlaps are the most effective for your site. I tend to use my main design color as the background color for a major element, maybe the header image or section, or as a margin background color. I also then tend to use it for at least my first heading level and my normal links. I'll use contrast color for the title if it is set against the major design color, active and or visited links, and often less vital design elements, such as margins or border colors. Finally, I'll use black and white as a single color, often with black text on white for the body text. You may find a general design scheme like this works for you, or you may find something else works better, but do remember to limit your colors and consistently use the same colors for the same design elements. I've already mentioned choosing color from your color scheme for certain types of information, but I want to talk more about this. Use color to code information or elements on your site. This information doesn't have to be something complex, like instructions. It can be any piece of information, for example, a heading level or a link. Each piece of this type of information should have the same color throughout your site. For example, if your heading level 1 is purple, it should be purple throughout the site. If your visited link color is chartreuse on one page, it should be on every other page. This obviously creates consistency, but it also makes it easier for your users. If they see something in that color, they'll begin to recognize it as a piece of that type of information, and soon they will automatically categorize it. So, if you have your links as blue, whenever a user sees blue underlying text, they'll know that it's a link. If you have your visited links in, say, orange, they'll be able to quickly and easily differentiate between links they haven't visited and links they have. This will make the site more usable, efficient, and effective for them. If you are using a limited color scheme, as I already said, you may have several types of information in a single color. This is fine. Just make sure there are other ways to visually differentiate them, since they are the same color. For example, a heading and a link may be the same color, but the heading should be visually different from the link. It is probably larger, bold, and set off from the text with white space, whereas the link is likely within your text or in another special location. Do use color to emphasize these different pieces of information, and consider what needs emphasis. Obviously, things like links and headings do. What else does? Should it be in color? You may have some important notes on your site, maybe for new information, sales items, danger warnings, and so on. These will pop more if they are in their own color, and users will be more easily able to find this information on other pages in your site once they've discovered your scheme. However, do not rely just on color for coding information. Different types of information need to be visually different, and color is just one way, and a good way to do that. However, it is not enough. What if your users are colorblind or have a monitor or other device with limited colors? If they do, make sure you provide a secondary cue, such as size, bold or italics, white space, shape, or something besides color, to also visually differentiate this type of information. The most important thing here is to be consistent. Choose a color for a type of information and make sure you apply that color each time you provide that type of information. I've mentioned colorblind users a few times in this podcast so far. When considering color, it is important to also think about colorblind users. About 7 to 10% of the United States male population is colorblind, and about 0.5% or half of a percent of the female population is colorblind. This means approximately 1 in 10 users that come to your site, if they're part of the United States population, will be colorblind. Colorblindness can range from full colorblindness to partial colorblindness. People with full colorblindness cannot discern any colors and see the world through variations of brightness and shades of gray. Luckily, this is very rare. More common is partial colorblindness, when the person cannot distinguish between some colors. One type is red-green partial colorblindness, where people cannot differentiate between red, orange, yellow, and green. There is also blue-yellow partial colorblindness, which includes several variations from being less able to differentiate colors to being green weak. Variations of the blue-yellow partial colorblindness are the most common among males and females. Luckily, a few simple design choices can lead to fairly good designs for colorblind users. In fact, I've already covered a few of the key things you can do. For example, do not use colors as the only way you code information. Use bold, italic, size, white space, shapes, and other methods to distinguish pieces of information, say headings, from body text. This way, a colorblind user can still make the distinction among the different types of information. Also, use high contrast in your designs, as color alone may not be enough for colorblind users to distinguish the differences. A user who is red-green colorblind may see your lovely red and green Christmas site as weird shades of yellow and muddy green. But if you use a dark red and a light green, they will still be able to distinguish the various elements from each other. Fortunately, there are many tools out there that can help designers who are not colorblind see what their color scheme and site will look like to people with various forms of colorblindness, and I find these tools exceedingly helpful. VizCheck offers two tools for website designers concerned with making their sites usable for those who are colorblind. The VizCheck tool stimulates how websites look to people with various types of colorblindness, and the Daltonize tool is a colorblind image correction algorithm. The URL for these resources is www.vizcheck.com, and I'll include a link in the transcript. Another tool is the Color Scheme Generator, which allows you to select color schemes and see how they look with 8 different types of colorblindness. This is very handy and even fun to play with. The URL is a bit complicated. It's wellstyle.com/tools/colorscheme2/index-en.html. And I will provide the URL in the transcript so you don't have to type that all in. These tools and tips will help you design for colorblind users, but there still is a lot more you can do. If there's interest, I could do a whole podcast later on designing for colorblind users. There you have it, the very basics of color in web and new media design. Obviously, this is an extensive subject, and I'll discuss it more in future podcasts. But for today, remember these key points. Use color to communicate and not decorate. Limit your use of colors to 4. Try to incorporate images into your color scheme when possible. Create a high contrast color scheme, especially for the text and background. Design a consistently applied color scheme. Use color to code information, but do not rely just on color for coding. And finally, consider and design for your colorblind users. Since this podcast is already so long, I'm going to save the first website critique and the explanation of the screen space star ranking system for the next episode. Please do keep submitting good and bad sites for me to discuss in future podcasts and to rank using the screen space star system. Tune in next time for the basics to the visual design of new media. Now that you know about colors, we'll talk about some design principles. If you have questions, comments, or thoughts on what you want me to cover, please send me an email at jbowie@screenspace.org or check out the ScreenSpace blog, www.screenspace.org. Have fun and design well. ScreenSpace is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. So feel free to send a copy to that website with the crazy color scheme that gives you a headache. But don't change it, and do give me and ScreenSpace credit, and don't make any money off of it. ScreenSpace's opening music today is African Dance by Yappa Yay off Headroom Project, and the closing music is Survival by Beth Quist off Shall We Dance. Both these selections are available from Magnatune.